Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we're going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and threw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward, so grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. Inukshuk has what you're looking for. Inukshuk's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, Inukshuk delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, Inukshuk is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with Inukshuk Professional Dog Food. We are rolling on this beautiful Saturday morning, and I chose not to go to a fishing tournament this morning because yesterday was a struggle. Fished 5, 6, 7, 6 hours, maybe 7. I don't know. I kind of lose track of time when I'm on the river. I just fish and don't worry about anything. Like I said before, it's kind of my peaceful thing. But after not being very, very productive yesterday, I decided that I won't take a chance on today. And I needed to do some work around the house. I've got to catch up with my yard work. It's awful. My yard looks like a war zone because of the pups and the dogs and everything else that we've got going on. So welcome back, friends, to another episode of What's Up Wednesday. And you know the drill. Whether you're on your morning commute, you're sitting down to relax, or you're just getting some things done, thank you for joining in. Yeah, it has been super busy for the last 2 weeks for me. Last week, I don't even remember. I did take off Friday, and I know we're going to talk about fishing. You're going to hear a lot about fishing throughout the spring and the summer because I spend a lot of time on the water. So I've been taking off Fridays. I've got some vacation time I have to burn. So I've been taking off the last couple Fridays. Friday, we went trout fishing, caught some brookies. That's probably one of my favorite trout to catch is the brook trout. So me and one of my buddies from work, Wes and Tyler, we all went and caught my limit pretty quickly, I guess. I didn't get to fish as long as I'd planned on, but man, I was catching fish and I was like, I need to keep that one. That's a good one. I need to keep that one. That's a good one. So anyway, that was Friday. I have no clue what I did last weekend. Oh yeah. Me and Maddie, we went fishing on the river and caught two pretty nice fish. And I say two, you know, the water temperature is still in the high 40s, 48, 47, 48. Yesterday it was actually up to 55. But man, I hate it when they let the dam out, which is upriver from where I'm fishing. Like, there was so much trash coming down the river yesterday. The water went up over a foot. The feet per second, which I know a lot of people don't pay attention to, but it really, we went from, you know, 2,600 feet per second. And when I left yesterday evening, we were up at 6,500 feet per second. So it really picks the boat up, pushes it down the river pretty quick. It will tax your trolling motor if you're trying to stay in one area in certain places that you fish. So yeah, yesterday took off yesterday, but man, we've been on the range all week. We had to do our yearly qualifications. So we have 4 range days. We do one in the spring, end of summer, fall, and then winter. And yesterday or this week was our night quals, but kind of been double dipping because I've had a lot of other things going on during the day. We had to go to a job fair. I've had to teach at the academy, which is canine, right? That's canine related. And then getting on the range in the evening, we've put red dots on most everybody's weapons. So we had to do a red dot, pretty much a red dot instructor thing for them to be able to transition from iron sights to red dot. And I'm telling you, it's a big transition, you know, shooting iron sights for over 20 years and trying to get out of some bad habits when you transition to the red dot. So 2 days we went in at lunchtime, done a 4-hour block for the 2 shifts for them. So yeah, it's been busy. So I just needed to take a day off. I wished I'd went fishing, but I'm going to work around the house. So there we are. And while we're sitting here looking, like I'm looking up at the boat barn, right? That's what we call it. You know, I've got, so Yeah, not this week, but last week. Maybe it was this week. No, it was last week. I've lost count of my days. So I got two pallets of Inukshuk in. I had it delivered here at my house, so I've kind of switched. I'm going to have them start bringing it here. So I unloaded it with a tracker, put it in the boat barn, and we've been noticing that Izzy, which is our little heathen, she's not been eating real well, but she's plump. Like she's not missing any meals, right? So I'm like, what, you know, she's nibbling a little bit. You know, we feed her in the morning, feed her in the evening, and she runs around loose all day, right? Y'all know I leave my pups loose. Well, the other day I'm up messing around the boat and she's up there and she's literally like digging underneath a pallet. And I'm like, what is she doing? Well, that little scuzz has chewed her way through one of the bags and literally 3/4 of the bag was gone where she'd been eating on it. And it was one of the bottom bags. So yeah, I'm not going to be able to leave the food up there. Like I said, I had intended on, you know, just leaving it up there so I didn't have to handle it so many times. But yeah, she's the problem. So anyway, yesterday when I got in from fishing and unhooked the boat, I took the extra 25 bags or whatever and put them up on top of the second pallet. That way she couldn't get to it. The second pallet's wrapped up really good with cellophane and wrapped all the way down to the pallet. So hopefully she won't get into that one. But yeah, she done eat out 3/4 of a bag. And then I had one bust when I unloaded it, but that was my fault. And I dumped one pallet in the yard. When I come out of the driveway into the yard, the pallet, you know, you guys feeding the Inukshuk, you know, the bags are slick and they're not vacuum sealed, but they're pressure sealed. And I guess it just wasn't wrapped good. And when I made the transition out of the driveway into the yard, it kind of tilted a little bit. And the next thing I know, it dumped. So I had to hand pick up 65 bags. And one of those bags busted. So that was on me. It wasn't anybody's fault but mine. So, yeah, that's what's been going on. Last weekend, gosh, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I don't remember. But anyway, sorry, guys. I missed plot day, APA days. Like I said, I needed a break. Like work's just wearing me out, like literally wearing me out. So, that was the week after we taught our tactical tracking class. So, yeah, it was a long week, long days. So I just didn't go. I'm apologizing for that. But if you guys are going to be hunting Walker days, the breed days up in Ohio, I will be up Saturday. I'm going to judge the bench show on Saturday. So if you guys are around, I think 3:00 is the deadline for the entries. I'll be there probably 2-ish and may hang out a little bit after the show. But if you guys are up there, come and give me a shout, holler. Would love to talk to you. Yeah, that's what's going on. So I wanted to talk to you guys about one of the things that I'm still using, even though I'm not sponsored by them anymore. But so my German Shepherd, which is my retired police dog, you know, the last 6 months, I've really noticed him coming up and down the stairs, up the stairs mostly, not down, but up the stairs. You know, German Shepherds are notorious for their hips. So I had actually kind of stopped giving him the one TDC. And I, even though I had a bottle left, you know, when I vouch for that company, I really vouch for it. And like I said, they're not a sponsor of mine, but I literally just bought 2 more bottles of it. And within a couple days of giving him the one TDC, like it's a completely different action that I get from him. He's not struggling to get up and down the steps. So, you know, just for you guys that actually did use that product or are still using that product, it does work. Like it does work for a joint supplement. I can't say enough about it. So, yep, just bought two more bottles. And I noticed that they changed their the way you can purchase it. I think I was buying 120 in a bottle, and now I don't know that that's an option. So we bought two bottles. So it's like 240. So that'll last us for a good while. I did preload him with three. I mean, he's a pretty big dog. He's mid 80, 85 pounds. So I give him three for 2 days, and now I'm down to two. So I'm giving him two a day, and it has made a difference. Like, even out in the yard, like, it's actually like he's got pep in his step. He's moving a little bit quicker. He's bouncing around a little bit more. So I can't say enough about it. While we're on dogs, we just get into dogs. We'll talk about dogs. I want to tell you something that's funny. So you guys know I've got my bee litter, which is out of Kate. So I've got, it was five of those pups. I've got three of them. A good friend Carl's got the other two. So I've got Briggs, Bridger, and Bishop. And the other day I got up. I was fixing a sandwich, and I looked out the window, and all my dogs are in the doghouse, except those three. Those three are laying up on top of the dog box. All three of them. Nobody else. Everybody else is in the houses. They're laying around. But those three are up on top. And I guess I haven't talked about this. So when I go and feed every evening, Spook and Kate, they have to get some attention. Like, Spook will literally, like, rub up against you, and he'll want you to pet him. And, you know, even when I'm in a hurry, you know, I pet him on the head a little bit, you know, whatever. Kate, she literally will stand up on her back feet. And as soon as I'm like, okay, like, she comes and she'll lean in against me, and she never like puts her feet on me, but she's like standing with her feet up and she's leaning against me. And, you know, I give her a good pet down. It's just those two. The rest of the dogs don't act like that. Well, so I was feeding one day before I was going to the range, and it just kind of dawned on me that Briggs, he jumps up on top of his doghouse, and when I'm cleaning his pen, like, he sits there and waits on me. So I'll go over and I'll put my arm over him and I'll pet him real good. Bridger and Bishop are doing the same thing. They get up on top of their doghouse and they wait. So Bishop, the other day, I spent a little bit extra time in there with her. Like, she was standing on top of her doghouse, tail wag, whole body's wagging, right? She's wagging, wagging, wagging. And I was like, all three of these dogs, it's funny how they have, their traits are so similar. Like, I don't have any other dog that does what they're doing with this stuff, right? Like, you know, they want your attention. You know, they get up on top of the doghouse. They're out sunning on top of the doghouse when nobody else is out. And everybody can get on their houses, okay? So everybody can get up on their houses. They, you know, they're laying up there. And now, like, they're all three. And this has been over the last couple months that they've all three started doing it. And, you know, now they're standing there waiting on you, just like Kate, except they're doing it in a different manner. You know, they're standing on top of their doghouse waiting. You know, Kate's standing at my, you know, standing at my knees waiting on me. It's just funny how, you know, you see those similarities and traits, and hopefully that carries on out into what they're doing, you know, actually how they produce in the woods and what they do. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting that I'm seeing, you know, the similarities in these three Yahoos that, you know, I'm not seeing any other dogs, and they're all litter mates. So it's got to be some type of genetic makeup that's causing it. And yeah, I thought it was interesting. So I've been looking at, I'm a big, you guys know that I'm very big into like leadership quotes, motivation quotes. And one of our football coaches posted this a couple weeks ago, and I jotted it down because it's going to lead into, to segue into what I'm going to talk about. But there is no growth without some type of struggle. And you hear a lot of us talking about, well, you know, I'm not where I'm at yet. You know, like this year, I was hunting a bunch of young dogs, and I had way more coyote races than I prefer. I do not like them. Okay. Do not like them. And I had four or five this year. I even had a deer race, which I shouldn't have had, but I did. And two-year-old dog, it is what it is, right? You know, we'll take care of it. But you're always going to have some type of struggle during your growth process. So I've had several guests on that say, you know, just don't quit. Just stay after it. Be consistent. You know, if you're consistent, that stuff will pay off later on down the road. Which leads into another thing. I saw this popping up on Facebook everywhere, and it's not mine. It wasn't my quote, but I think it is very, very, very important, because I honestly believe in the saying. And this was what the saying said. People want a well-trained hound without becoming a well-trained owner. And we talk about this all the time. And, you know, one of the things at work that drives me batty is when you ask somebody, why do you do it this way? Well, that's the way we've always done it. Like, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, well, that's always, we've always done it, I could have been retired by now. Well, okay, I get that. I understand that. But in the last 10 years, has there been a new method, a new tactic, a new way, something else developed? Did technology come in? Like, is there another way? And remember, we preach and teach, it's a way, not the way. And when you say this is the way we've always done it, they're saying this is the way, right? But what are you willing to do to become a well-trained owner? And we're going to talk about corrections here in a minute. I talked about it last time. We was talking about the timing of the correction. So for my young dogs right now, just being consistent with them. So I'm still working on the loading process. And it's kind of funny because I tricked them last week. I tricked them. I actually been feeding them in the truck, the back of the truck every day, in the truck every day. And they all took off around the house, and I had the tailgate up. Well, Abby and JoJo literally are trying to jump over the tailgate into the truck. You know, that's that part of classical conditioning. When you repetition, the dogs understand what's coming next, and, you know, they're trying to get ahead of you. So I kind of thought it was funny, but what I had done is I'd moved their food bowls down to the tie-out. I still have my tie-out out. And once they was like, oh, something's wrong. You know, I whistled, they all came down, I tied them out. So basically what I'm doing right now is I'm kind of mixing it up. I've done it enough with both now, like the tie out and the truck, that now they're actually kind of running around looking for what I want them to do. Like they're okay, Dad, give me direction. What do you want? So with that, I seen another quote, and this come from a dog trainer. It says, you cannot give correction if the dog does not understand what you're asking him to do. And that is so true. That's why we work on foundation work. That's why we spend time 5 days a minute. Remember, that's my motto, 5 days a minute. That's why you spend time doing stuff to set up that foundation. And you can't expect the dog to understand if you don't teach him what you want, right? So we got to teach him. We're learning. And you can't teach him if you don't have a bond with that dog. Yes, I can shortcut the process, but we don't like to use the word shortcut, because when I shortcut something, it's messing something else up. So we want to lay that foundation. So what are you willing to do to become a well-trained owner? You know, what do you want your pack of dogs, or your two dogs, your one dog, or whatever you have? What do you want them to do? You know, I want to be able to take, you know, I have 14 dogs that I can take out right now. And I want to be able to take all 14, if I don't want to, but if I wanted to, I want to be able to take all 14 of them out and handle them, right? You guys know I don't take mostly over six. I'll have a young dog with me sometimes, which makes it seven. And that's a plenty, way too many for me. But you got to be willing to open your mind and look at things that maybe you normally wouldn't look at, to do those things. And, you know, let's get back to chasing cars. So every day, remember I talked about being consistent and how I was not prepared. when Miles decided he was going to chase the car that one day, and I did not have the collar on him because I just thought it would be a quick doing. Well, since that day, not one day goes by that I don't have a collar on him. That way, if it happens, I've got a way to correct it, okay? And he knows what I'm asking him to do. He knows that I do not want him doing this. So some point in time in the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to say it was last week because this week has been very chaotic with my schedule. So last week, I was out in the yard, and I did not, bless her heart, Chloe literally, I think she does Mach 4 up and down the driveway. I don't even know if their tires hit the ground sometimes. But I was down feeding at the lower lot, and all I hear is, I mean, it's gone. And Miles was not with me. He was around the front of the house. So I see him going up the road, just as hard as he can go. Can't stand it, guys. Can't stand it. I could not get in my pocket quick enough to get the remote out so I could apply a correction. Now, remember what I said, that timing is very important. If I can catch him when that behavior starts to change or there is a peak in his behavior, it's pretty much boom, boom, done. It's done. I can change his behavior just by applying light stem. Boom. Well, this time he's in the act. Like he's in that prey mode, right? Chase, chase, chase. So he's up where I had the collar preset, did not even phase him. So he's halfway up the hill by now. So I'm fiddling around with the collar, trying to get the remote turned up to what I thought was an appropriate level. Hit him again, nothing. Okay, so I've come up, and now I'm like, okay, all right, wow. So I adjust the remote a little bit more, and now I'm using a Dogtra, so it's got 121 settings on it. I had to get up to 58. Normally, I'm on a 25, so more than doubled. Now, listen, 137 settings on it, so we're not even halfway to where it should be, okay? So I finally got him stopped. And now, listen, I'm giving him verbal commands. At the same time, I'm applying pressure. Remember, I want him to understand what I'm doing. So I got him stopped, and literally he turns back to do it again. And this time my tap went into a constant bzzz, boom, stop. He turned back around and I'm like, all right, Miles, let's go. Now, listen, did you hear my voice? It was not an angry Miles. It was, all right, Miles, let's go. Okay. He comes trotting back down the driveway. He comes in around behind the boat barn. He comes out the yard and he sits down. And in his mind, I'm thinking, what's going on in his mind? His mind's going, I don't know what just happened here, but I need to process it. So he sat there for, I think the rest of the time I finished feeding and cleaning kennels. And I've got 10 kennels there. So however that took me. So he was processing and I'm finished. So I whistle for him and he comes around the backside of the house and he's still a little standoffish. Not like spooky or scared, but he's just kind of like, So I already know that I don't need to get anywhere near, like, I want to stay away from that 58. I want to go down with it. I want to go down in the 40s if I have to. And probably now that he understands it, I'll be able to back off of that. But remember how I talk about when they're in the act, it takes twice as long and it's twice as hard to stop them. When we talk about trash breaking, you know, this is a prime example. You know, if he's running a deer, it's going to take me more. And I'm going to have to apply more pressure than I really want to. So that's why I try to do it when the behavior starts. And if they're away from me, if I'm free casting and those dogs take off and I'm not 100% sure what they're running, you know, that's why I try my best to wait till I can cut them off and catch them, or I can place myself where they can see me and I can be like, all right, let's stop, let's go, let's stop. And then I can apply that pressure. Because they understand then that, hey, dad's asking me to do something and I need to stop it. So that's just me. That's just how I like to do things. It's a way, not the way. I've done it every which way. I've done it a lot of the wrong ways. And I've said it on here before, like, I am guilty. I can raise my hand and say that I am probably the reason that I've let some of the dogs go that I've had that were really nice dogs, because my misunderstanding or non-understanding how to apply corrections at the right time, at the right increment. And is it so important? Like, if that dog's running deer or yote or whatever it is, if that dog's running off game, I'm not going to break him that one time. Remember we talked about our maintenance work? Like, I'm not going to break him in that one time. Like, I'm going to have to continually work on it. And I may even have to go back and do my maintenance training on it, right? Just like I talked about with Pino here a while back. Like, I'm going to have to go back and make sure, because dogs are like kids in a cookie jar. You've heard me say it, like kids in a cookie jar. You give them an opportunity, sooner or later, they're going to snatch a cookie, right? So you're going to go back and you're going to have to do your maintenance. You got to check on things. You got to keep an eye on things. You got to be realistic with what's going on with the dog, what their expectations are versus what your expectations are. I want my dog to run and catch and stay, whatever that is. And he is going to run and catch and stay on the stuff that he wants to. I've got to correct that and put him on the right stuff. So don't forget about your maintenance training. Don't forget about, you know, just doing the little things. Consistency, guys. I'm telling you, like, consistency, consistency, consistency. Dogs learn through repetition. And I do like to mix my stuff up. Just like I said, I'm feeding in the back of the truck. I'm going back to the tie line. You know, I'm mixing things up this coming week. I'm going to actually feed them in the box instead of in the truck bed. I've been doing the truck bed, but I've got to switch out trucks here. So I'm going to start feeding them in the box. And I need to start getting them out and running them around. In fact, today I've got a little time. So I'm going to do some work around the yard. And while I'm doing some work around the yard, I'm going to let two of the older pups out. So how old are they? 8, 9, 10 months old. The chicken killers. I'm going to let them out. But I'm going to do it one at a time. I'm going to make sure that I have access to correction if I need it. I don't want them, you know, going over to Travis's and running his cattle. I don't want him out here running the horses. And I definitely don't want them going up to Chloe and Rob's and getting back in their chickens that we just replaced, right? Don't want that to happen. So I'm going to set it up where it's favorable for me and them. But I'm going to let them out and let them run around. They've been cooped up for a while. In fact, if I have time today, all my dogs will be out at some point in time. You know, even if it's just for 30 minutes, you know, it's letting them out, letting them, you know, stretch their legs, have a little freedom. And if I need to do some maintenance training while I'm at it, perfect day for it. I've got all day. So hope you guys, if you're hunting, hope your hunts are productive. If you're not, I hope you're getting the train. And if not, I don't know what to say. But catch you guys on the next episode of What's Up Wednesday.
Do you like to be outdoors like I do? If so, unlock the wilderness with Onyx Maps. It is your ultimate guide to exploring, hunting, and conquering the great outdoors. With detailed maps, real-time tracking, and exclusive access to public and private lands, Onyx Maps is your key to adventure. Discover the possibilities and never get lost again with Onyx. So subscribe today using the promo code K920, letter K, number 920, and know where you stand.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries.
For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.